in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 704 now, the Ron and Don Show, and we are live in the Les Schwab Studio.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up is Zillow in trouble. Also, car values, they went way up during COVID. It seems like they're coming way down. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Blue Origin? Yeah. They want to farm the moon. Ron, I was trying to figure out, why is everyone trying to go back to the moon? We've already been to the moon. I thought we were going to Mars. And now we figured out, oh, somebody wants to farm the moon. What are we going to farm up there on the moon? It seems like we already have enough soybean, and we certainly have a lot of corn. What are we going to plant up in the moon?
The farming they're doing is for elements used for electronics and high-end production. I think the offshoot, it's a
I knew there was a catch.
Subsidiary of Blue Origin. I think they want helium-3. I don't really even know what helium-3 is used for, but the trick to this is, how do you get the gear needed up to the moon and then get it back economically? And there's like a lot of elements, like gold and helium-3 and a lot of stuff that they find in space. And we've even heard this story about certain asteroids where they have a lot of elements that are needed to produce high-end electronics on Earth, and how would we get it back and forth? The real question to me is, because we've never had to deal with this as a planet, who owns the rights to the moon? So is it first come, first serve? So in other words, if we go up there, we being someone from the United States of America, are we staking a claim on the moon? And then if China says, hey, well, we want to get in on this, and we're making a lot of electronic gear, we're going to build a rocket, and they go up to the moon, how do we decide as a species who has rights to what on the moon? That to me seems to be the question that no one's really answering. This company's forging ahead and building rockets and building machines without even knowing or caring about who owns the moon.
Yeah. And if you look at what we've done on the planet Earth, we haven't done a good job of taking care of planet Earth. Just think about what we're going to do to the moon. And
right.
Then we're going to move on to Mars, and we're going to shit can Mars too. That's my big concern. And then on top of that, Russia has spent a lot of time developing some of the same technology. I think some of the technology we're developing is not to really farm the moon. I think it's to continue to point rockets at Russia and China, and for China to point rockets at us. I think at the end of the day, when you see what's happening in Ukraine and you see what's happening around the world as the world continues to get smaller, it's you know, people made fun of Donald Trump and the Space Force, but the Space Force has become a real thing. And I also think when you look at defense systems or the way that nations attack each other in the future, these wars are going to be pretty quick and over in mere moments. And I think we're going to see a lot of war waged in space. We've seen now a lot of wars waged with drones. And we could see the same thing begin to happen, not only on the moon, but also on Mars. So my biggest concern is, we haven't done a good job on planet Earth getting along with each other. We also haven't done a good job in taking care of the Earth. And now we're going to take our worst practices, not our best, and we're going to continue that in space. We have to be concerned about that.
I totally agree with you. And the other thing, and I'm guilty of this as well, is we do such a poor job at the life cycle of electronics. Like we needed a new printer for the Ron and Don business. So I went and bought it. We needed a color printer, bought a color printer. So now my black and white printer that worked is sitting in the room on the floor. and it's an operational printer. And so I'm sitting here going, okay, do I just take this to the dump? Do I put it on Facebook Marketplace? Like, what? How do I responsibly get rid of this printer? There's a lot of stuff inside that printer, chips, and some of these materials that we're trying to send rockets to the moon are already in the gear. Mm-hmm. But we just go on to the new thing, the new phone, the new printer, the new TV, and it's cheaper now to go, I'm not going to fix that TV. I can go to Costco and get a new TV for, you know, a couple $100 more than if I tried to fix the old TV. And we don't think twice about throwing that TV out and not trying to harvest any of these materials. We just throw them away. They'll eventually probably end up in a foreign country with child labor or people with no PPE on digging through garbage to try and harvest some of this stuff. I've watched videos on guys that try to get gold out of all the chips. They'll take 1,000 computers and melt them down and try to get the minuscule amount of gold out of them or precious metals. And so that to me would be money better spent instead of going to the moon to bring back materials. Like, let's develop electronics where at the end of their life, you can say, here's the gold, here's the silica, here's the palladium, here's the all these elements that were causing wars around the world, and just be able to harvest them easier than what we do right now. Because maybe I can figure out a place to take this printer, but I feel guilty about it knowing that it still works. And I just needed a color printer instead of a black and white printer.
Yeah, more in 60 seconds. Hey, you guys, I got some exciting news. Now through March 2nd, they're having their Founders Day sale at Les Schwab. Who's Les Schwab? Well, you know, they sponsor this show. You know, they do a lot of great things in the community. In fact, this Thanksgiving, raise a lot of food. And during the holidays, yeah, raise a lot of toys. Thing I love about Les Schwab is he loves the community. He's been doing it. In fact, instilling their family values since 1952 in all our communities. 70 years earning your trust. Right now, the Founders Day sale. It's a thank you to all the customers out there. Get this. You can save up to $150. That's right, $150 when you buy a set of four select tires. And all you got to do when you go in is say that Ron and Don sent you. All right, for that location near you, all you need to do is go to LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. Les Schwab, let's say it together. They've been doing the right thing since 1952. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii, said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house, and this house has a foundation problem, has a roof problem, has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000, and then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house. So case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home, it has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. We're going to talk about this more on a real estate only edition, the Friday show, about this settlement with the NAR. What is the NAR? What is the settlement? And Ron, why is Zillow and Redfin possibly in trouble here?
Well, Zillow and Redfin's stock price had a pretty big dip when this settlement news came out. So basically, NAR is National Association of Realtors. It is an organization, kind of a lobbying educational group, a trade group, if you will, that charges dues to its members across America. And they've been very powerful lobbyists. So it's similar, and they'll probably hate me saying this, it's like the NRA of real estate. It's a trade group. It's a lobbying group. And so they had some pretty big judgments against them, a lot of lawsuits flying around that we can go into the technicalities on our Friday show. And so when that settlement news came out, the logic on Wall Street was, well, this is going to have some downward pressure on the real estate agent business. These two technologies, Redfin and Zillow, rely on that for a lot of their income. And so Wall Street said, we think your companies have lost value because of this, and they drove the price of the stock down. And I see the logic in that, because for people that don't know how this works, one of Zillow's biggest sources of revenue is from real estate, individual real estate agents. So the way that it works is this. I'll just take the Northwest MLS because that's the one I know how it works. The Northwest MLS is a giant database of real estate information. And so they charge a fee to Redfin or Zillow to scrape their data and to take the data off of their database and to put it on to Zillow or Redfin. And so when you are opening up your phone and you're cruising through Redfin looking at houses, all of the underlying information came from the MLS. And so the way that Redfin makes its money is that they take the user information, people using the app, and they then sell that through real estate agents. So they'll go to real estate agents and they'll say, hey, you live in Queen Anne. Hey, Don, how would you like for me to send you people interested in buying a house on Queen Anne? Here's how much that will cost you each and every month. And so for every, you know, 100th person that is surfing around on Queen Anne and they see your picture, they're going to hit contact agent. You're basically running an ad on Redfin or Zillow. That's how they make a huge percentage of their money. And if this lawsuit drives real estate agents' ability to advertise down, then those two companies will lose money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think along with that, a lot of people are now saying, this is going to totally change the way that people buy and sell homes. I hope so. I hope this makes our industry more transparent, because sometimes in these transactions, it's not very transparent and it gets very complex and complicated. And for many people, they shouldn't be sitting there at the end of the transaction saying, where did all this money go? You get something at the end of your transaction called the net proceeds that explain to you in detail. You should get the net proceeds. In fact, Ron, you do a beautiful job with all our clients. You show them the net proceeds at the beginning of the transaction, so it's not a surprise to them when they look at their bank account and go, where did all that money go? And a lot of times that's what has happened in this industry. It has not been transparent. And we've been calling for transparency for quite some time.
Yeah, and I've bought ads on Zillow before, and I got to say the experience is not great. It's not a great experience. The first time I did it, we did get a couple transactions out of it. It was very expensive to buy those ads on Zillow. The quality of person, I shouldn't say the quality of person, the education level of the persons that would call, I got to say, was left a lot to be desired. It was people that are just surfing their phone. They hit the button. You're talking to them. They don't know what financing is. They don't know what neighborhood they want to live in. There's a lot. All they want to do is go in and look at a house. And they've done more often than not, they're very unprepared to actually buy a house. And so Zillow just sort of drops this hot potato in your lap. And, or in our neighborhood, there would be a houseboat for sale for $159,000, and you would chew up your entire budget with Zillow getting calls on that houseboat. And so, yes, you got a call. Am I in the business of selling a houseboat for $159,000? No, like I'm not an expert in houseboats. And so, but from Zillow's point of view, it's like, hey, we delivered you a bunch of leads.
You got 16 calls and 16 right. of those are on that houseboat that is rat infested. And once people find out, they don't want to live on that houseboat.
Correct. And so that part of the model, we'll see how it evolves. Yeah. I'm interested to see how it evolves.
Yeah. And I would just say there's a lot of good real estate agents out there. You guys, if I was going to go buy a house and I wasn't a real estate agent myself, I would totally hire a real estate agent, especially in a competitive market. And for people that think they're going to go, you can go out there and represent yourself now. You didn't need this judgment. You can go do that now. It's just, if you haven't educated yourself, if you haven't done a lot of transactions, it could be very difficult. And then like the tax code, the rules change all the time. So that's why it's important to have a real estate agent that's on your side. You want to pay them. A worker is worthy of their wage. They deserve to be paid, especially if somebody, for instance, teaches you how to invest. We helped one of our buyers take down a house last year. I stayed through the transaction with them, helping transform this house into three different apartments. They already have, I think they've booked 7 long-term or short-term rentals and long-term rentals with this. It just went on last week. I helped them write their ads and everything. They didn't pay me to do any of that other than the money that we got from the transaction when they bought this particular house. So for Ron and I, a lot of times the transaction continues, the relationship continues. And for a lot of those great real estate agents out there, we went and wrote on a house. My friend April is a great real estate agent here. And she represented this couple 24 years ago when they bought the house. And now here they are 24 years later. He works for the school district. They're from Sweden. They're moving back to Sweden to finish their golden years. And here was April 24 years later, bringing that house to market. And the house had been a rental, and I saw it when it was a rental. April deserves to get paid every single penny she got paid, because when you look at the pictures, and the house just sold for almost $2 million. When you look at the pictures of it as a rental over the last 24 years and what it looked like when she brought it to market, she didn't get paid enough. She did not get paid enough. So a real estate agent typically is worthy of their wage, but like in any industry, whether it's being a cop or whether it's being an attorney or being a doctor, there's some people out there that do the bare minimum, and I'm glad that things will be more transparent now. I'll give you the final say.
It's going to, I don't know how this is going to end. I'm curious of how it's going to end, but as you said, with anything in life, the top 20% of every profession takes a lion's share of the work, and they figure out the new market conditions. Like, that's just the way that it goes.
Yeah. All right. More in 60 seconds.
It's Ron and Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him better as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, you have a really cool new product for investors. I think it's kind of the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so we have a great new investor cash flow program. And what this is we take the house you are buying and we inspect it, not you, the borrower. And so what we do is we look at the house and we say, will it cash flow? If you put 20% down, will it make more money than it's going to cost you to keep paying off your mortgage? And if it does, it's yours. It doesn't matter what you make on your own. It doesn't matter all these other things that we usually have to document. They don't matter. They're gone. It's just, does this house make sense? And if it does, you can buy it.
All right. So you can go up to 4 doors, up to 4 units on this. And Don and I have never heard of a product like this. It's pretty exciting if you've been wanting to get into the investment game. So go to Mitch.Loans right now. Set up a time to talk to Mitch. See if you qualify for this new program. That's Mitch.Loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. It seems like through COVID, everybody had a little extra cash on their hands. And it also seemed like people had some extra time on their hands. So what did people do? They went online. They started buying stuff. I remember trying to buy a bike for my son. I went to local bike shops here during COVID. There, I went into Greg's Green Lake Cycle. They literally had three bikes in there. I'm not sure. There were no. They had no bikes. I went out online and I tried to order bikes and buy bikes. You couldn't.
I remember this.
I just gave away the bike that I bought for him during COVID, and it took 7 weeks to get that bike. 7 weeks, and I was at it every day trying to find a bike.
Well, didn't you order one on Amazon at first, and it said it shipped and
three times,
and then it like never would ship, never would ship.
And this is when you know the supply chain is broken, and they also know they lie to you. Three times it showed that it was on the truck and in my neighborhood, and then they told me three times that the bike had been damaged, and that's why it wasn't delivered. Isn't that incredible?
Right.
Yeah. So that particular bike.
House of cards.
Yeah, that bike never showed up. Anyway, we finally got our hands on a pair of, and then I started getting things from the dealer where I had purchased my Toyota truck. And you all probably experienced this too. I think you did as well, Ron. They kept sending me a letter saying, hey, what you paid for the truck, and this is a 2015 during COVID, would have been 2020. So the truck would have been 5-6 years old. Maybe 50,000 miles on at the time. They're like, whatever the sticker was, we will buy your truck for that. So I pulled the sticker out and I called them and I'm like, you'll buy my truck for that? They said, yeah, drive it down here. I'll write you a check right now. Because there was a shortage, right, of used cars.
Well, I was in a leased truck. I had a Toyota truck. It was leased. And it was coming to the end of my lease right during COVID. And so I was like, you know what? I don't like the lease game. I'm going to buy a car, which I did. And I took that truck in and I had my Kelley Blue Book values printed out for this truck. On the trade-in, to get out of my truck and to trade that in towards buying my new car, I got $5,000 above Kelley Blue Book. And I take nice care of vehicles. Like I always do the maintenance and they keep them clean and all that stuff. And so, but I got $5,000 additional, basically just a COVID premium. So he's like, I can sell this truck 10 minutes after you give us the keys.
Yeah.
He's like, this truck will not be on the lot tomorrow.
It was probably already sold.
But that money helped me in the purchase of my vehicle that I have now.
Yeah. I think the other thing that people did during COVID is they started fantasizing about the car that they'd like to buy. Many people started ordering cars, hybrids, especially battery type cars. And this is kind of interesting because the CEO, I think it's of Hertz, he stepped down the other day because during COVID, he had decided, as they were pivoting to Hertz, you know what we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to buy 100,000 battery-operated cars, including Teslas. And now those particular cars are sitting on the lots, and Hertz doesn't know what to do with them. And they could take them to auction, but at the auction, nobody wants to buy them. And I think one of the reasons why people don't want to buy them, it becomes very, think about putting a new engine in the car. What about putting a new battery in a car that is that heavy? And then we learned through the course of the winter some things that are happening with electric cars. Number one, it's hard to charge them. Number two, some of them don't keep a charge. Number three, some don't perform very well in the snow. Number four, if a car is supposed to go 300 miles, sometimes when it's really cold out, it will only go 100. And then number five, when you go to plug in and charge that particular vehicle, sometimes the charging unit has been vandalized because there's copper wire in it. And so the people that want that copper wire, yeah, not only are they breaking into construction sites like mine, but they're breaking into these chargers and they're stealing all the copper wire. So can you imagine you're out in the middle of nowhere, you pull in the middle of the night, you're going to do one of these quick charges and the chargers don't work. That's been happening quite a bit. People read those stories and they're like, screw it. I'm going back to a gas-operated car. I'm going to stick with my hybrid. And as a result of that, Ron, Tesla is taking a dump here. Their stock has. We have also seen the CEO of Hertz now have to walk away. And I thought this would drive the price of used cars up, but we're seeing used cars right now take a tumble. I don't know if they're really taking a tumble, though. I think they're probably just going back to what they're supposed to really actually sell for when it comes to the Blue Book value, because they were so inflated because of COVID, and you and I saw that. What's your take on
it? Well, the other thing that affected it back in COVID is the money was free. And so that was driving this as well. You know, you had, I remember, when I was shopping for my car, you had Jaguar 0% interest for 60 months. Volkswagen, 0% interest, I think, for 45 months on a new car.
Wow.
Zero interest. So you go in,
sign,
that's get the a whole car,
sign and drive thing,
and
right?
Just, there was no interest on your loan.
Yeah.
But I didn't like either of those cars, so I ended up just, you know, buying a different brand. But now that loans actually cost money,
yeah.
The supply chain is back online. The vehicle manufacturers are doing this. I think the other thing that people don't talk about much is cars just last a long time now. The warranty I have on my Kia, I have a 20-year, 200,000-mile powertrain warranty.
What?
20 years.
Wow.
200,000 miles.
Wow.
On the powertrain.
Yeah.
And it'll probably last that long.
Have you had any problems with it?
No.
You drive it a lot.
I drive all over the place.
All the real estate stuff you do.
And
yeah.
So that is unheard of. Until very recently.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if it does last that long with the powertrain.
That's a great point. Yeah. That's a really, it's not a Chevy Chevette.
So back in the day when you were at a car dealership, if a car was 10 years old, it was like, 10-year-old car is kind of, Now a 10-year-old car is still a very good car.
Think of the Hyundais back then, and you would never buy a Hyundai, like a used Hyundai. You would watch them go through an auction and no one would buy them, even if they're $500 and a couple of years old. That car is completely different now, and it's a great car, and it's bumper to bumper, and people, like my friend has a Sonata, and I think they have a quarter of a million miles on it, and you get inside, it's a nice car. It's a great, great car. So, hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. Ron, if people want to get in touch with us for a buyer playbook or a seller playbook when it comes to real estate, all they got to do is reach out.
Yeah, it's one of the services we give you that most realtors don't. We want to educate you not just on this transaction, but how to think about real estate as a vehicle to improve your life and your family's fortunes. So download that playbook, ronandon.com. You can also just email me directly, ron@ronandon.com.
Yeah, and don't forget commissions. That should be a negotiation, and that negotiation should happen up front. And any realtor that's not going to negotiate their commission with you, it shouldn't take a settlement with the National Association of Realtors for them to figure that out. Yeah, realtors need to be more transparent. And a lot of the realtors that I know are you guys. They are advocates. They're your friends. They're the people you can call in the middle of the night when you're either going through a hard time emotionally or you're going through a hard time because your plumbing just went to shiznit. I know a lot of great realtors that are out there that deserve every dollar they get paid, and some of them don't get paid enough. And also remember, realtors employ a lot of people in every transaction. There's 25 to 27 people involved in that transaction. They're paying a lot of those people. So when you see these big commissions, don't forget they're self-employed. They're 1099. They're paying a lot in tax, sometimes 40, 50% on that deal. And then they're also paying their photographer out of their own pocket. Sometimes they're paying the stager out of their own pocket. Sometimes they are paying to have things done at the home out of their own pocket because they know that that's what's going to take in order to sell that home. And so there's a lot of hidden costs there for a realtor sometimes that you just don't see. Speaking of that, we're going to talk about that on our Friday show. Is that episode 705?
Yep, 705.
Yeah, episode 705. We're going to talk all about that landmark settlement and what that means for us, what that means for you, what that means for buyers, sellers, investors when it comes to real estate. So make sure you're listening, okay? Thanks to Paul for producing today's show. We really appreciate that. He's Ron Upshaw. I'm Don O'Neill. Follow us on our social media channels. If you want to get the nation news, go to ronanddon.com. If you want to sit down with us virtually and just talk and meet us, we'd love to meet you. ronanddonsitdown.com. We can sit down, have a virtual talk today, and talk about your real estate journey. All right? Hey, for Charlie the dog, my son's going to come and finish this thing out. You keep your head up, your shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show online on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.